This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
It is a Saturday morning tradition here on CJAD 800 Home Improvement. It's 9:06. I'm Ken Connors, and sitting across from me, Justin, we flew him in by chopper, by the way, Walter Assey from Inovco. How are you, Walter?
Getting in style, eh?
It didn't even land. He jumped at one point onto the roof. Good to have you. Not a lot of sunshine out there this morning.
No. April showers bring May flowers, though.
Yeah. So that was... How's your lawn looking?
it's greener than... it's actually nice this year. Yeah. It's clean, and I did a good job in the fall, I think, because I don't have much to do.
Good.
What most of the listeners don't know is that you exercise between... Between breaks.
Oh, me, you mean?
Yeah, oh my God. He was. I caught him jogging the whole stairs up and down. It's actually a good practice.
With a mask on.
That's right.
Anyways, we got Walter in the building, and he's ready to go. I got people ready to talk to you.
Already? Wow.
Roll up your sleeves. Here we go. First up is Peter, if I'm not mistaken. Hi, Peter.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What part of town are you in?
St. Hubert.
Down in St. Hubert. You want to talk to Walter about your deck?
That's right. I'm rebuilding a deck, a 10 by 20 feet deck, freestanding. What I want to know is what is the best for the beams, because I'm going to put posts in cement. It would be 2 by 8 or 2 by 12.
What's the span again?
The beams.
The span. What's the span?
The span's about 10 feet.
10 feet, what is the spacing that you're going to do between the beams?
16,
10 feet, and you said 24 across, right?
Yeah,
2 by 8. How high of the ground?
3 feet.
Yeah, then 2 by 8 is fine.
2 by 8 is fine, with 2 by 6s as the stringers?
That's correct. Now, let me ask you a question, though. You said you're going with a sonotube foundation?
Yes.
Have you maybe thought about a technopieu, like a...
I thought about that also, but it's a freestanding deck.
Okay.
And to avoid lateral movement, mm-hmm. I was under the impression that it's best to put the posts in cement.
If you don't want any movement whatsoever, technopieu is actually more recommended.
Really?
Because it goes down, it pies, it's very solid, and... It's quicker for you to do as well.
But the 4x4 posts are attached to it above ground.
Why are you doing it freestanding, if you don't mind?
Because I can't put it on, because the way the house is built, I have a cement deck that goes out 12 feet, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's a wood deck. But the cement deck is only, 6 inches thick, so I can't put a ledger board on there.
Yeah, okay, got it. I mean, they both work, don't get me wrong. And the thing with sonotubes is you want to make sure you're going to go below the frost line and have you.
Yep.
And that's fine as well. It's just sometimes the piles are a quicker way of getting things done with a bit less intrusive measures of digging and so on.
But with that, you'd have to put crossbars?
Yeah, I mean, the crossbars are good anyways, no matter what you use as a foundation system. And you could just put the blockers, actually. You don't have to put anything fancy. Whatever you have left over, you cut it and you put blockers and you just stagger them and you'll be fine.
Why, thank you very much.
My pleasure, sir.
Good luck, Peter. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye now. We're going to Adele. That frees up a line, by the way, 514-790-0800. Adele's got to talk to us about the garage floor, right, Adele?
Absolutely. Thank you, Ken. Good morning, Walter.
Good morning.
We purchased this house in September. It does have an attached garage, which is uninsulated and unheated. There was a lot of movement, and I've got pronounced cracks in the garage. We're not ready at this time to redo the slab. I'm wondering what I can do in the meantime. I've seen people use self-leveling cement, but it's usually inside a home. I'm wondering if that's an alternative or if you would have any suggestions for me.
Okay. How old is the house?
1987.
Okay.
Yep.
And those cracks, are they continuous cracks? Are they just sporadic cracks here and there? Is there any lifting in the slab itself or they're just fine hairline cracks?
Well, they're not fine. There was no lifting as such, but they are pronounced in spots. And I know the previous owners at some point tried to do some patch. So I'm assuming we'd have to do a bit of grinding on the top before we did anything, but that's just supposition on my part.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you're going to put self-leveling for sure it's going to crack. That's not really the intent of a self-leveling is to fill. And don't forget, your slab is usually anywhere between 5 to 6 inches thick.
Mm-hmm.
Self-leveling is good up to 3/4 inch. There's another product that's about 1 inch. So it will not really do the job for you. You're just going to be wasting your money.
Okay.
What I'd rather you do is I'd rather that you seal the cracks and mm-hmm. you just buy so it's like, think of it as a caulking of the crack. There's special products and that will kind of stop the humidity coming down from the cracks, coming up from the cracks, I should say, will buy you a couple of years. You could, any type of repair, if you don't do it intrusively and properly, especially if you have big parts of the slab that are cracking, there's not much that's going to hold for a long time.
Okay.
Depending on, again, the width of the crack, the shape of the crack, if it's star shape, if there's any lifting. So there's many things. You could do also partial repair in the bad areas. You could, take out the slab there and just re-pour it in place. That is doable, and you could do it, depending on the area, you could do it almost yourself.
Okay.
Yeah. If you just bring in concrete bags and you take out that section that is really bad and you just pour the cement there, it's actually better to go down to the gravel and then work your way back up again.
I see.
Especially if there's small areas, that you could take out and re-pour, it's not a problem.
All right, Walter, you've been very helpful. I thank you both. Have a great day.
My pleasure. You too, Adele. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. 9:13. We're going to try to sneak in Barbara here. We got about 3 minutes before we break for traffic, Walter. Hi, Barbara.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Oh, good.
My talk is about concrete, too. Mm. The side entrance that leads to the basement outside, there's two concrete slabs. And they have lifted towards the house, and there's also a big crack in one of them.
Mm. Hmm.
What is the best way to repair this? Lift it or smash it and put styrofoam
in? Sorry, repeat again.
It's the walkway leading to the house, you said, Robert?
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's two big, it's about 10 feet long. It's two big concrete slabs.
Okay.
But this is from about 85, it's sinking more towards the house, so
okay.
Water and snow is accumulating
And
there's one near the house that's got a big crack across it.
Hmm. Okay, I mean, there are companies that will lift the slab and pump underneath some type of styrofoam to kind of lift the slab and put it back in place. That would probably be the best and the cheapest and the fastest solution for you.
Okay.
Taking the slab out and repouring it is intrusive. You have to jackhammer it. You have to take out the debris and so on and so forth. Especially if it's still in good shape, you can definitely lift it and have it supported. I would not necessarily take it out and repour. Because, if you are going to do that, make sure it's properly compacted, put some wire mesh and repour. But there's no need if the concrete is in good shape. It can hydraulically be lifted and then be put back in place.
Excellent.
Is that
That's
how
what I was thinking.
How much time will she get with that option?
Oh, she'll get a long time. If it's well done, it will stay in place for a long, long, long time. These companies particularly work around swimming pools.
Right.
Because there's always movements and so on and so forth. And I remember been 4 or 5 years ago, I've hired one of these companies for one of our jobs, and the job still looks fantastic till today.
Good.
So plus it's fast. Like that's the thing is, you don't have to, be out of commission in your walkway for a couple of weeks just because you know all the work that you have to do.
How's that, Barbara?
Excellent.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the call.
Bye
now. Exactly 9:15. If you want to call and get free advice, the guy is here to answer your calls and answer all your questions. 514-790-0800. Home Improvement Show with Walter from Renovco.
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Just checking off all thumbs. 921, I'm Ken Connors. Walter Assey from Renovco is on the other side of the table here in Master Control, answering your calls and your questions. One full hour of expert advice. You have a problem at home, something that needs fixed, an issue that you've been putting off, you want to know how to approach it, call now, 514-790-0800. Ron is out in Pierrefonds. Ron, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, hi, guys. Yeah, I called last week.
Yeah.
Okay, so I had a tech come from my heat pump, and compressor's done. The wires are fried. And it says it's grounded to the copper. It's grounded to the copper. Now, it's a year I had it in November. I was away for 4 months last year, and my gas bill tripled. So now I have a quote of $1,500 plus tax, which I'm not happy about. On the bill, the guy says about 4 or 5 hours labor. So, fortunately, there's only 1 year of labor. 10 years of parts. Now, I could have went elsewhere for 10 and 10, but I'm not happy. I spent about $10,000 for this heat pump.
Right.
And I'm not happy with their answer.
Right. You have a specific question for Walter, though, about the issue?
Well, yeah. It's a brand new heat pump. Compressor's finished already.
Yeah.
And they said all the wire is shot and grounded to the copper or whatever. So...
How old was the compressor, Ron?
Well, I bought it in 2020.
It
was here past November.
Okay. So usually it should be guaranteed for at least 5 years, the compressor.
Well, I have a guarantee for 10 years.
Even
it's
better.
It's the labor.
Okay, well, the labor, the guy said 4 or 5 hours, that's not equivalent to $1,500.
Well, no, because I got the call the next day and he told me $1,500 plus tax. I said, well, come on.
Yeah, that's expensive. That's definitely expensive.
You know, I mean, it's a brand new heat pump, and I don't have no idea how long this year didn't work.
What's the brand?
Lennox.
Okay. So what you might need to do is call... You don't necessarily need to call the same dealer that installed it. You could try to call another dealer because the parts come from Lennox anyways.
Yeah.
And get a price on the labor. But that's not what's worrying me. Lennox is a good brand, and it should not have done that within 2 years. So my worry is something went wrong in the installation that led to the compressor being finished going that fast. That's correct?
And all the wiring is fried, apparently. But, I mean, should the wire be grounded to the copper?
Well, again, I mean, I can answer that without seeing the work, but my worry is, number one is, if you are going to get another company, and I would if I were you, to get another opinion, let's check the furnace and the heat pump if they're compatible, like I told you last week, and let's check the installation per se. If the installation is wrong, then you can 100% go after the company, and they have to cover the whole job from A to Z. Whether guarantee or no guarantee, it doesn't really matter, okay?
Yeah, because, I mean, like I said, it's new. And second of all, if I go to another company, would that do anything with my 10-year warranty?
No. The warranty comes from Lennox. Like, we in the company, for example, are distributors of many products. And whenever I give a guarantee and there's an issue, I go to the manufacturer and I get that part for free. Moen, for example, they have a lifetime guarantee on their faucets, right?
Okay.
So, you know, you have an issue, you could call any plumber and you could get, or any distributor, and you can get the Moen part for free.
Because as of now, the technician came, it cost me $175 up to now, just to check for 30 minutes.
Okay? Yes, yes.
Fuses are blown, everything, and whatever. So, yeah. To me, as I said, it could have been 3 months this year it didn't work because my gas bill comes in, it was triple the amount.
And that's what I told you last week. I told you there's definitely your heat pump is not working, and that is, it's an ominous thing that you are paying that much, and especially now it's not kicking in. So we knew that already.
Yeah.
Now let's kind of reverse engineer what happened and see what went wrong in the installation because it's very rare for a compressor to... to burn that fast. Extremely rare.
Exactly, because I had a York for 30 years.
That's right.
You remember?
That's right. And especially that you are naming me a very well-known, good brand. If you would have, you know, sometimes those generic brands tend to burn much faster and they could have issues. But it's very unlikely for a Lennox to do what it did in that
So basically, I should fight for saying whatever you're going to charge me. I should say, look, it's unbelievable.
Well, not just that. I would personally get another opinion, to be quite frank with you, because I have a feeling if the installation is done wrong, you can get that labor done for free.
And I can, well, that means I'd have to go back to the company I bought it from. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Because, I mean, the company is, you have them on your radio all the time, your announcements.
Okay.
So now it's guaranteed I'd probably have to phone. I just don't want to have everyone come because they're going to charge whatever, and I'm frustrated with, you know, $10,000 heat pump. And
do me a favor, call them.
Yeah, I did. I'm phoning back on Monday.
Yeah, call them and get someone to speak to someone, and like a supervisor or customer service, explain your issue. And then offline, let me know what happened. Send me an email, drop me something. I'll see if I can assist you with that.
Okay, and offline is where, on what?
You know what, Ron, I'm going to take your number down. Hang on.
Okay, thanks.
I'll try to call the company for you and just go over.
You want
to
know the name of the company?
No, thank you.
I don't want to say it on the radio.
Thank you very much. We'll try to help you off air. We'll see what it is, but...
Appreciate it very much because I'm frustrated like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, I can hear it. Ron, all right, Ron, I got your number down and we'll be in touch.
Okay.
Thank you. 9:28. I don't know if we have time to do this. You need a minute for spots. Oh, you don't need a minute for spots. You know what? Nina's standing by, but I wanted to, maybe you can address this text before you have to get to and use. Someone has a chain link fence as part of their landscaping, their backyard, and wants to replace it, an upgrade. What do you recommend that could, you know, aside from a chain link that could, you know, withstand our winters?
I can recommend anything except a chain link, just because of the way it looks.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, we can. There are PVC. If you want to have something maintenance free, there's PVC fences right now. There are fiberglass fences. There's wooden fences, of course, but again, wood means maintenance and so PVC is probably one of the most popular for people that want it to be as maintenance free as possible.
Do you need to check with your borough when it comes to installing a new fence?
That's correct. You need to. And the other thing I would really recommend is have your certificate of location ready when the installer of the fence come to your place, because if you install part of it at the neighbor, it's going to be very costly to replace that afterwards.
There you go. All right. That is for Len out in Dollard. Len, I hope that was a help to you. 514-800 is our text line. Our phone number here, you can grab a line now and talk to us on the other side if you have a question for Walter. 514-790-0800. Nina, we're coming to you in just a couple of minutes with your question about those windowsills. The Home Improvement Show, Saturday morning here on CJAD 800.
You're listening to The Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Yes, you are on this gray Saturday morning, and we're glad to be here and have some help for you. 514-790-0800. Walter Assey from Inovco is at the table with us, answering your calls, like this one from Nina. Hi, Nina.
Hi.
Where are you going?
Ottawa.
You okay to talk?
Yep.
Okay, very good. You want to talk to Walter about a problem with your windowsills, right?
Yes, thank you for taking my call, Walter. I just have windowsills on the top and bottom, cement windowsills on the top and bottom of a 100-year-old house that have discolored over time, and I don't know how to clean them.
Okay, it's just a question of cleaning?
Well, no, they're discolored. Like, you can't clean them. They're just, they've discolored over the years. So
okay.
I don't want to take like a pressure gun to them in case they damage them, but they're pretty bad.
Did you try muriatic acid?
No, I didn't. I read that and I just didn't know. Is that something you should do yourself or should you hire someone?
Provided you actually read the instructions very well, because, you know, it is harmful. But if you read the instructions and follow the safety guidelines, you could do it yourself, yes. That's what bricklayers usually use and masons when they finish their job and they want to wash the stone. That's also used in some maintenance of cleaning older buildings. Now, there are other ways which are done by professionals, like dry ice blasting. They have, you know, these are usually experts, so they don't, because it's a pressure that could be adjusted. So obviously they won't put so much pressure that they will destroy the actual sill. And what I like about the dry ice, it doesn't leave any residue behind. It works.
Is that something your company does?
We don't. But if you just Google dry ice blasting, you're going to see a whole bunch of companies are going to come out.
Wow.
Just make sure they explain you well the process and... you know, and they have to come by and see, because what they're going to do is they're going to evaluate also the solidity of your structure. If they find that it's too frail, then they will not obviously apply pressure to it and they will just not take the job. So first and foremost, you can either send them a picture or a video of it, and then if they feel comfortable with it, that will probably give you the best results. It is very close in result to sandblasting without the mess that sandblasting will leave behind.
Okay. So it's called what again?
Dry ice blasting.
Thank you so much, Walter.
Having said that, if you want to do it yourself and you want to try a small section, or you could go with the muriatic acid, because dry ice blasting is not cheap. So, they have minimum charges even for small areas. So if you want to try that first and see if that could, that works, and so be it.
And that's a hardware store product.
Yeah, muriatic acid is readily available. You can even buy it from Montreal Brick and Pierre or Webster, or they all have it.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Nina. Drive safely.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
And just as a follow-up, Ken, about the slab, I was the caller about the cement slab.
If yes, you want, Barbara.
Yeah, Barbara. If she want to have a good product to use, there is one that is easy to remember. It's called Slab by Sashko. And it's a great it's great to seal up all the and caulk all this the cement cracks in her cement in her slab.
And the company name is Sashko.
Yeah.
Okay.
By Sashko. Yeah.
All right. Very good. Next up is Caroline. Hi, Caroline. How are you?
Good morning.
Morning.
You want to talk? How are you, gentlemen?
Oh, we're fine. There's a little sunshine out there, but we're making do. You want to talk about your oil tank?
I do. Unfortunately, first of all, it's Caroline, not Caroline.
Caroline, okay. Je m'excuse. Ma faute.
And I have to change the oil tank, the 10-year rule. So mine is over 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with it as far as I know, but, excuse me, according to the powers that be, the oil tank needs to be changed after 10 years, according to the insurance company. So what I'm wondering is, do I go dual energy or electric? At this, given the current pricing of oil and what the future looks like, what's a better way to go?
So I have good news and bad news for you. oil is being phased out, meaning it's not going to be legal very soon to use oil energy for heating, okay?
Right.
So the fact that it's finished, I would not replace your oil tank. I would, just replace the whole heating system per se, because you're going to be wasting money on an oil tank that does not, that should be removed in a year or two, depending on where you live.
Having said that,
So that's it. So having said that, what I would actually do is definitely focus on dual energy. Like propane, for example, you could, there's gas, there's propane, there's...
I don't have propane in my area.
Well, you can have, you can rent propane tank, or do you have natural gas?
No, I have oil at the moment.
No, I know, but in your area, do you have natural gas?
I really don't know.
Okay, you can always call Energir to check, and if you do, that's a great alternative. If you don't, then you can always rent or buy a propane tank and then, you know, service that. They will come and service it every few months, like the same thing they would do with oil. Along with that, so there will be definite savings there. If you go full electric, you're not going to be saving any money. And so definitely we say to go stick to buy energy, just stay away from oil, obviously.
Okay, so dual energy, you're saying with propane or?
Natural gas.
Okay, is there a preference one over the other?
Not really. I mean, if natural gas is readily available to you, then that's what I would go with, because you don't have to, you know, get the tank and rent the tank and have something cumbersome on your land and so on and so forth. You know, but what you will see with propane or natural gas that it heats up faster. So there are benefits to having that type of secondary heat in your home.
Okay, so you're saying propane or natural gas?
Correct.
Is one better than the other if I have a choice?
Not really. There's it's more the accessibility to the resource more than anything else.
And so what
natural gas is available usually, you know, underground in a lot of areas, so you can have direct access to it rather than renting a propane tank and putting it on your land.
Okay, so natural is better if I can.
That's right.
And so that would be natural gas and electricity.
That is correct.
The dual energy part.
Now the good part about this is also as far as your panel is concerned, because now amperage in panel is a thing, Ken, and that's something that we also have to, plan ahead for. You know that there might be a plan in Quebec for the next 10 years that we won't have any more gas-powered cars. So that means more electric cars. That means we're going to take a lot more amperage from our panels.
Mm-hmm.
A decent electric plug is 60 amps. You have two cars, that's 120 amps out of 200 panel. So what I'm trying to tell you is anywhere we can diversify to get less power out of your panel, because soon enough we're going to start running out of amperages. Especially, you know, so if you go with a propane furnace, you're taking less amperage from your panel as well.
Oh, all right. I thought you said natural gas was better.
Or I mean natural gas or propane. That's what I meant. Sorry.
Okay.
Depending
on
what's
confused.
Available in your area. Okay.
But okay, if there's a choice, it's natural gas, and if there is no choice, well, then that takes care of that. And so the dual part is either the propane or the natural gas, and the other part of that is the electric?
Fully electric, that's correct.
And you don't recommend fully electric?
I personally don't. Mm-hmm. I personally don't, and for the reason that I just named for you.
Because we're going to be I already have the 200 amps, so that's
not enough.
Good part.
I mean, look, it's a good part for now, but try to have two electric cars in your driveway, and then we'll talk about the 200 amps.
It won't be good enough, right? What will I need for that?
I mean, you know, right now we're talking about 320 amps as a new standard, quote unquote. So that might be a thing of what, you know, a lot of the homes are going to require in the future. So it's all about planning ahead, right? In 2-3 years, every year we see how much more electric cars are taking. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a thing. And then, you know, in a few years, it's going to be the norm.
The 320.
That's what I believe is going to happen. That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
There you go, Caroline.
Perfect. Thanks so very much. Have a wonderful day and stay safe.
Thank you so much. You as well, Caroline. Thanks for the...
You might just need to tighten a thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Right back here, home stretch. Walter Assey from Renovco is with us on the Home Improvement Show, answering your calls at 9:51. We've got to get right back to the phone here. Pamela has been waiting patiently. Hi, Pam.
Hi. Good morning.
Morning. You want a water pump?
Yes, because I don't know how come my house don't have one.
Where do you live?
I live in Beaconsfield.
Mm-hmm.
You mean a sump pump when you say
yes.
Water pump? Okay.
Yes.
Are you close by the water?
Yes.
And you don't have a sump pump?
No, but I never have water in the basement.
Okay. Are you positioned high up?
I think so, because my neighbor don't have one too, but I am worried, you know.
What makes you worried? What is the reason that you are? Did you see anything?
I said in case we have water, you know, I must have some kind of a means to get the water out.
Okay. So usually, and you said your neighbors don't have sump pumps either.
No.
Okay.
But so some people do have and some don't have.
Okay. So what is your question? Do you have a specific question as well?
Yes, my
pumps,
question is if you can recommend me to someone so that I want to install one.
Okay. Any company, any plumber really can install a sump pump. Any plumber. Now, here's the trick with sump pumps. So it's not just to install a sump pump. There's many things that go with it, right?
Yes.
If you're going with what you're going to need is, unfortunately for this case, multiple trades. You need someone to break your concrete, dig the hole, then the plumber comes. Then you need an electrician to bring the electricity there. And then you need to make sure that you have a proper discharge on the outside. So you might need to do, and not might, in a lot of cases, you have to do some digging and then create some kind of a dry pit for it. So there are multiple things to consider. It's just not putting a machine that's going to pump water out. It's a bit more complicated than
that. Will I have problem with the beacon seal?
That's a great question. You won't have problems usually, no. But you can go and ask them if you need to have a permit for it. And they also, each municipality have different rules where you evacuate the water out of it. So that will be a good start point for you. Now, having said that, in a lot of cases, you might not even need to have sump pump if you are high up, if your house is higher than everybody else, because your water table is not that high. So you might not even need to install one.
I have to check with the city first?
Well, check with the city, what are their bylaws as far as sump pumps are concerned. And if you absolutely need to install one, just keep in mind that there are these steps to follow.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just installing the machine. It's, you need to dig a hole. It needs to, you have cement, you have. So it's quite labor intensive.
Right.
Okay.
And how much roughly do you think it costs?
Well, the pump itself, there are different qualities of pump, right? You can buy a pump for $300. It can go up to $2,000, depend on the horsepower, the brand, and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
The minimum that I would recommend would be a half horsepower or three-quarter horsepower, because that evacuates water much, much quicker. So in case you have heavy rainfall. But in your case, half horsepower should work because you are high up and you don't have high water table.
Okay. Thank you so much and have a good day.
Thank you, Pam. Appreciate that. We have time to get Lise in here. Hi, Lise.
Hi there, guys. How are you this morning?
We're great. You sound great, Lise. You want to talk about your new patio? What's going on?
Yeah. It looks like somebody took a pick to one of my bricks. But nobody did, and I'm trying to figure out, is that normal that something like that would happen?
Do you have neighbors that don't like you?
No. No, it's just I'm shocked, It's like it's disintegrating.
Disintegrating is one thing, and that's totally different than someone took a pick to a brick, okay?
Mm.
So we have to distinguish between the two. Now,
okay.
If disintegrating means when you put your hand and, you see that it's starting to crumble to the touch, that means the brick itself, first, is that brick close to the earth or is it high up?
It's high up.
High up. Is there like a gutter that or potential for this area to get wet?
The whole deck had ice and snow on it on the winter.
Okay, so it does touch, the snow and the ice does touch this area then.
Yeah.
Okay. So, that's one of the issues that you'd have, especially there's certain types of bricks, unfortunately, that, with year they start disintegrating and crumbling.
Okay.
What you would do in this case is you could chisel this brick out and change it, or make sure not to have the same problem. It's either you shovel that deck out and keep this area clear for the brick nut, because it starts with one, but then it starts going into others. That's typically what happens. So you might need to just maintain this area a bit better in the winter, if possible.
Okay.
Okay. But, I mean, again, these are types of bricks that, unfortunately, after a certain time, they start deteriorating and becomes a question of maintenance for you, and you replace them as they go.
Okie dokie.
Because if you don't, then you're going to have water infiltration issues, which I don't think you want. Plus, when you have several of them at the bottom row of the brick and they start to deteriorate, then you're going to have structural issues, because don't forget, there are other bricks on top, so...
Okay.
You don't want any buckling there.
There's always something, Elise. There's always something.
Oh, my goodness. Always. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for the call. All right.
Bye.
Bye now. Walter, where did the hour go?
I don't know. I have no idea.
We're going to need you to stay till 11. Don't go anywhere. Walter, thank you. Walter Assey from Renovco. Another edition of the Home Improvement Show. Thank you for the phone calls. Don't go anywhere, too. We'll take care of all your car and automobile vehicle issues coming up next with Lisa. And then, of course, at 11 o'clock, it's Kelly and Montreal Eats. Thank you, Ben, in Master Control. I'm Ken Connors. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning as of 6 o'clock.